If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Numbers, chapter 32. Book of Numbers, chapter 32. I want to read a lengthy portion of Scripture this morning, beginning in verse number 1. The book of Numbers, chapter 32. Beginning in verse number 1, says, "Now the children of Reuben and the children of Gad had a very great multitude of cattle. And when they saw the land of Jazer and the land of Gilead, that behold, the place was a place for cattle. The children of Gad and the children of Reuben came and spake unto Moses and to Eleazar the priest and of the princes of the congregation, saying, Ataroth and Dibon and Jazer and Nimrah and Heshbon and Aleilah, and Sheban, and Nebo, and Beon, even the country which the Lord smote before the congregation of Israel, is a land for cattle, and thy servants have cattle. Wherefore, said they, if we have found grace in thy sight, let this land be given to thy servants for possession, and bring us not over Jordan. And Moses said to the children of Gad, and to the children of Reuben, Shall your brethren go to war, and shall ye sit here? And wherefore discourage ye the heart of the children of Israel from going over into the land which the Lord hath given them? Thus did your fathers when I sent them from Kadesh Barnea to see the land. For when they went up into the valley of Eshcol and saw the land, they discouraged the heart of the children of Israel that they should not go into the land which the Lord had given them. And the Lord's anger was kindled the same time, and he swears, saying, Surely none of the men that came up out of Egypt from 20 years old and upward shall see the land which I swear unto Abraham, to Isaac, and unto Jacob, because they have not wholly followed me, save Caleb the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, and Joshua the son of Nun, for they have wholly followed the Lord. And the Lord's anger was kindled against Israel. He made them wander in the wilderness 40 years. Until all the generation that had done evil in the sight of the Lord was consumed. And behold, ye are risen up in your father's stead, an increase of sinful men, to augment yet the fierce anger of the Lord toward Israel. For if ye turn away from after him, he will yet again leave them in the wilderness, and ye shall destroy all this people. And they came near unto him and said, We will build sheepfolds here for our cattle, and cities for our little ones, but we ourselves will go ready armed before the children of Israel, until we have brought them into their place, and our little ones shall dwell in the fenced cities because of the inhabitants of the land. We will not return into our houses until the children of Israel have inherited every man his inheritance. For we will not inherit with them on yonder side Jordan or forward, because our inheritance is fallen to us on this side Jordan eastward. And Moses said unto them, If ye will do this, saying, If ye will go armed before the Lord to war, and will go all of you armed over Jordan before the Lord, until he hath driven out the enemies from before him, and the land be subdued before the Lord, then afterward ye shall return, and be guiltless before the Lord, and before Israel, and this land shall be your possession before the Lord. But if ye will not do so, behold, ye have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we want to thank you this morning for the privilege of the Word of God. We thank you for the Scripture that is true, that is right, that, oh God, we know is given from above. We pray that you this morning might just speak to our hearts from it. Glorify yourself in the midst of every heart and life. Spirit of God, come down in our presence. Make yourself well known to every individual. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please go ahead and be seated. As we think of the time that we live in, God has established local churches. God has established local churches to evangelize the lost. We have a responsibility, according to the book of Matthew, chapter 28, to go into all the world and preach the gospel. to all peoples. We have that responsibility given to us. We see also from the Word of God that we are to educate our peoples. We're to take the Word of God, we're to teach this precious Word that folks might understand it, might be able to use it in their daily walk. We're also, we find from the Word of God, to edify each other. Now that's a very simple word that means we're to build each other up. And we are to encourage each other. So you and I, we have these three things that are a part of our local church. We also find within every church there are those who are pretenders. They don't really know the Lord. They come, they attend, but they are not those who have any relationship with the Lord. We also have what I would call attenders. And I don't mean somebody who just comes and sits in their place on Sunday morning. That word attend means they are about the ministry of evangelism, education, and edification. But also, sadly, within every church, there's also contenders, those who find fault, those who gossip, those who are critics. We always find these three. When we examine the children of Israel, and we find this group of folks who came up out of Egypt, we find really a correlation between they and local churches today. We find that they were saved by the blood in Egypt. The blood was applied to the doorpost, and the death angel passed over. And so all that were inside that house, they were saved from death. We find that as the blood is applied in the lives of individuals, why they can be saved from the death that we all deserve. And thank God for the blood of Jesus. Amen. But they've been saved by the application of that blood. They had separated themselves from the world as they had crossed over the Red Sea and left Egypt. They had experienced the providence and the provision of Almighty God. They had seen the hand of God as He took care of them in the deserts and as He led them about. We find that they had gone to Mount Sinai. They had received the Word of God. You and I, we have the privilege to get saved by the blood of Christ. We have the privilege to separate ourselves from the world and to separate ourselves unto the Lord. We find that He provides for us. He leads us. And we can have this precious Word of God. But we find also that they were offered to be able to go into the promised land. They were offered a victorious life by believing God. But we also find from this story, as it refers back to it, that like Christians in general, as they have a few spies go in, they come back with an evil report and tell them that there are giants in the land. And thus, they do not take the opportunity to follow what God wants them to do. And we find that God says to them, if you won't do what I say, then you will die in this desert. And by the way, it was interesting that it was called the wilderness of sin. And so we find that all of those who were 20 years of age at that time and upward, in the next 40 years, there were graves dug in the sand all along the journey that they had made until all of those had passed on. But thank the Lord, we look today and we find that there was a group that came up out of that. The youngsters, if you please. And they were given a second chance. They were given the opportunity to cross over the River Jordan into the promised land. However, again, so often like you and I, there was a small group of them that were content to stay on the east side of Jordan. We find that there was the tribe of Gad. We find that they wish to say, we see that these 2.5 tribes, they were willing to dwell on the East Jordan. And thus, they were going to stay there. However, we find, as we read from our chapter here today, that Moses comes and he delivers a very pointed message to these peoples. And he says to them, if you look with me, especially in verse number 6, he said to the children of Gad and the children of Reuben, shall your brethren go to war, and shall ye set here? And notice the next verse. The word and connects it. And wherefore discourage ye the heart of the children of Israel from going over into the land which the Lord hath given thee. And so we find here that they were given some very blunt instruction. Moses contended with them, and he said to them, if you do this, you will bring discouragement to the rest of the tribes of Israel, and you will destroy these people. Let's understand something today. God has not called us to the ministry of discouragement, but God has called us to the ministry of encouragement. To the ministry of encouragement. Let's think about it for just a moment. Let's put it in some terms that maybe just come down right where you and I live at. There were 2.5 tribes. There was also the half tribe of Manasseh. We find these 2.5 tribes out of 12 tribes said, we don't want to go over the Jordan River. And we're content on staying here. Moses said, shall your brethren go to war? And you said here, will you discourage your brethren? He is saying to them, you 2.5 tribes out of 12 can bring discouragement and you can bring destruction to the entire nation. If you do your math, if you understand how to do that kind of math, you will find that 21% of the people could discourage the other 79%. Let's think about that for a moment. Out of 12 tribes, 2.5, you take 12 and divide it by, or 2.5, divide it by 12, you come up with, rounded off, 21%. That is basically one out of every 5 people. One out of every 5 people can bring discouragement to those others. I want to do something today. I need a Sunday school teacher. Would a Sunday school teacher stand up, please? Sunday school teacher, stand up. All right, do more than stand. Come up here. I'd like to have a master club worker. A worker. Somebody. Master club worker. Come on, somebody. Come on. Master club worker. Don't wait too long. All right. Come up here. Master club worker. Very good. All righty. Let me see here. Junior church people are all downstairs. I need one of our school people. Get up here. Right away. Somebody, school people. One of our school people. One of our school people. I only got 3 or 4 of those. All right. Lauren's coming. All right. This is not a student, by the way. It's one of our workers. She graduated last year. We put her to work. Let me see here. I need a musician. I need a musician. I need a musician. Come on. All right. You're going to come up here? Come on. A musician. All right. That's 4. What else do we need? I need somebody that does some... Let me see here. Somebody that does some cleaning. Somebody does some cleaning. I mean, you scrub the toilets. Come on, Jake. By the way, our school kids clean much of these buildings every week. All right. And he has the official title. He's a toilet scrubber. All right. So you got what? How many's up here? Very good. We're doing some math today. We're doing good. So how many's up there? No, you're counting me. How many's over there? 5. I was wondering if you needed my glasses. Okay. We got 5 people up there. All right. 20% of 5 is how many people out of this group? One person. One person. All righty. One person. All righty. If the toilets don't get scrubbed, sit down. The toilets don't get scrubbed for 4 or 5 weeks. 6 weeks. She's going to be playing the piano with a bandana over her nose. Where are you going to take your little kids to? I mean, they got to go. Going outside. Is this guy pretty important? Would that discourage you guys that toilets don't get cleaned? Yeah, it would discourage you. Get back up here. We need a toilet cleaner. Okay. How many of you folks like to sing a cappella? A couple of you do. Sit down. You just quit. Just quit. All right, she's done. And is she going to bring discouragement to these folks? Huh? We're up here, and this guy's going to try to lead songs, and he stands there. Let's turn our songbooks, and you know the piano's not playing, and you folks are out here going. Yeah, you cover up some of the bad sounds. All right. Yeah. Do we need to? Yeah. By the way, did you enjoy the girls singing a while ago? Wasn't that nice? Amen. Is that ministry? Yeah. We need you to get back up here. All right. We need these folks. Amen. We need somebody to teach Sunday school. We need somebody in Master Club. We need somebody that's in school. We need these people. Amen. Now, if one of them drops out, what happens? The others are going to get discouraged. Isn't that true? They're going to get discouraged. But God doesn't call us to the ministry of discouragement. Did you know that? God called us to the ministry of encouragement. Now, how can we encourage them? Way to go, Jake. That is wonderful. Keep scrubbing those toilets. We're behind you all the way. 20 feet, but we're behind you. That is not what we find here. When we read our text, how are they discouraging them? Not being with them. How can we encourage them? Get up there and help Jake. Come on. Get up there and help Jake. Jake needs some help, wouldn't he? Jake needs some help. Wouldn't that encourage you, Jake? I've got some help. Or we need better help. That's better help than what you had, all right? Okay. All right. He's got some help. Would that be encouragement? Amen. It would be. Yeah. It would be a great help. Yeah, it would be. All right. You've had a couple times when you could not be here. You had some. You ever got sick? Occasionally. And she needs some help with music. Do you know how to play the piano? You debated on whether to tell the truth or not? Well, get up there and help your sister. Come on. She needs some help. Wouldn't that encourage you, Emily? Huh? Yes, sis. She's ready to get up. All righty. Yeah. That would be a help. Amen? Yeah. Look at what's happened to the workforce. Amen? Yeah. John teaches teenage boys. Anybody teach teenage boys, you know that you need, well, I don't know what you need. We need somebody that can carry a big stick. Big stick. Great, come up here. You need to help him. You can carry a big stick, can't you? All right. Are you a good teacher, Greg? Huh? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if he knows how. By the way, it doesn't really matter if you know how to play. But you can be there with her. You can turn pages. You can say, hey, this would be a great song, right? Yeah. Now, you could pick up a brush and scrub the toilets. You know, that's not a big, hard job to do, all right? But it's encouragement, amen? Somebody that's, what, encourager, he's coming alongside. Amen? Yeah. What do you got in Master Club? Fifth grade, Master Club. And so here's some kids. Wouldn't it be great if somebody say, hey, I'd be willing to help in fifth grade Master Club. I'd just be willing to do that. It'd be my deal, huh? Come on, get up there and help him. Yeah, you. Come on. Teenage girls can be used too. We're not sure how, but he can be, all right? Do you realize you can be an encouragement to him? Yeah, you're good. All right. Could you use some help in school sometimes? Yeah, it'd be tremendous. Sometimes have some help. All right. And boy, it'd be great if somebody just said, hey, I'll help her. I'll do that. Come on, buddy. You need to go up there and help her. Come on. Come on. Let's get up there. Come on. You're playing around. Come on. She needs help really fast. Come on. All right. Amen. Would that be encouragement to you? All right. Amen. Not too bad looking either. All right. And not trying to do anything, brother. All right. Well, we get in the picture? Huh? Yeah. How are we going to encourage each other? Get involved with them. Huh? Get involved with them.
He said, wherefore discourage ye the hearts? What were they doing? Getting uninvolved. What do people need in the ministry? Encouragement. Encouragement. Not somebody just to lead cheers in the background, but somebody who's willing to come up. Maybe they can't do your job. That isn't the idea. But they can be there with you. They can be there with you. Yeah. How many have ever laid in a hospital bed? You had somebody come visit you? Did it bless your heart? Were they the doctor, the nurse? I mean, could they really do something for you? I have been volunteering for years. If you have an operation, call me. I will be there. I've been wanting to be the anesthesiologist for years. I got this big hammer. Boom! I can put you out. Nobody's ever called me yet for that job. I'm not qualified. You got that one. I can't do that job. But do you know something? Doctors and nurses have learned that those people who come in and visit raise the spirits of the people who are there. And they're more likely to heal as a result of your visit. Amen? It has something with it. What are we called to be? Encouragers. You guys can be seated. Thank you so much for scrubbing toilets and singing songs and all of those things. The church doesn't need shirkers, but workers. The church doesn't need sponges, but those who will plunge in. Every time somebody quits, it leaves a job that can't be done. But every time somebody steps up and says, I want encourage, it takes some load off. It means something to those individuals. It keeps them going. Oh, how we need to understand that. And too often as God's people, you know what we are? We stand on the sidelines and we give cheers, not realizing we are discouraging our brethren. We're discouraging them. Why? Because they've gone to war and we're sitting here. God's not called us to that. God wants us to encourage the brethren. But not only that, God wants you and I not only to jump in there and to do it. God, I believe, listen, every born-again child of God has that ability. God has given you talents. God has given you different abilities that you can use for Him. Nobody's the same in this room. Aren't you glad? But God has, and He's brought us together for a reason, that we might be an enhancement one to another. We might encourage one another. That we might work together shoulder to shoulder. And then what God has given us in this responsibility of encouragement, He wants us to follow through. I have preached on verse number 23, but I've never really dealt with it in its context, as we really ought to. In verse 23 it says, but if ye will not do so, behold, ye have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin. What sin? If not encouraging your brethren and keeping at it until it's done. There's the sin. If you have email, you read this story. If you read it since yesterday, it's taken from the leatherneck.com website, which I believe was also in written form. It's fairly lengthy. Please pay attention. On November 13th, 2010, 4 days after his son, Lieutenant Robert Kelly, United States Marine Corps, was killed by an IED while on his third combat tour, Lieutenant General John Kelly, United States military, Marine Corps gave a speech about the dedication and valor of our young men and women who step forward each and every day to protect us. During the speech, he never mentioned the loss of his own son, but spoke of the last 6 seconds in the lives of two young Marines who died with rifles blazing to protect their brother Marines. And now I read what he said. "I will leave you with a story about the kind of people they are, about the quality of the steel in their backs, about the kind of dedication they bring to our country while they serve in uniform and forever after as veterans. 2 years ago, when I was the commander of all U.S. and Iraqi forces, in fact, the 22nd of April 2008, two Marine infantry battalions, 1/9 called the Walking Dead and 2/8 were switching out in Ramadi. One battalion in the closing days of the deployment going home very soon. The other just starting its 7th month combat tour. Two Marines, Corporal Jonathan Yale and Lance Corporal Jordan Harder, 22 and 20 years respectively, one from each battalion, were assuming the watch together at the entrance gate of an outpost that contained a makeshift barracks housing 30 Marines. The same broken-down ramshackle building was also home to 100 Iraqi police. Also my men and our allies in the fight against the terrorists in Ramadi, a city until recently the most dangerous city on earth and owned by Al-Qaeda. Yale was a dirt-poor, mixed-race kid from Virginia with a wife and daughter and a mother and sister who lived with him and whom he had supported as well. He did this on a yearly salary of less than $23,000. Harder, on the other hand, was a middle-class white kid from Long Island. They were from two completely different worlds. Had they not joined the Marines, they would never have met each other or understood that multiple Americas exist simultaneously dependent on one's race, education level, economic status, and where you might have been born. But they were Marines. Combat Marines, forged in the same crucible of Marine training. And because of this bond, they were brothers as close or closer than if they were born of the same woman. The mission orders they received from the sergeant squad leader, I am sure, went something like, 'Okay, you two clowns, stand this post and let no unauthorized personnel or vehicles pass. Our lives depend on you. You clear?' I'm also sure that Yale and Harder then rolled their eyes and said in unison something like, 'Yes, Sergeant,' with just enough attitude that made the point without the words, 'No kidding, sweetheart, we know what we're doing.' Then they relieved two other Marines on watch and took up their post at the entry control point of Joint Security Station, Nasser, in the Sofia section of Ramadi, Al-Anbar, Iraq. A few minutes later, a large blue truck turned down the alleyway, perhaps 60 to 70 yards in length, and sped its way through the serpentine of concrete Jersey walls. The truck stopped just short of where the two men were posted and detonated, killing them both catastrophically. 24 brick missionary houses were damaged or destroyed. A mosque 100 yards away collapsed. The truck's engine came to rest 200 yards away, knocking most of a house down before it stopped. Our explosive expert reckoned the blast was made of 2,000 pounds of explosives. Two died. And because these two young infantry didn't have it in their DNA to run from danger, they saved 150 of their Iraqi and American brothers in arms. When I read the situation report about the incident a few hours after it happened, I called the regimental commander for details, as something about this struck me as different. Marines dying or being seriously wounded is commonplace in combat. We expect Marines, regardless of rank or MOS, to stand their guard or ground and do their duty, even die in the process, if that is what the mission takes. But this just seemed different. The regimental commander had just returned from the site, and he agreed, but reported there were no American witnesses to the event, just Iraqi police. I figured if there was any chance of finding out what actually happened, and then to decorate the two Marines to acknowledge their bravery, I'd have to do it as a combat award that requires two eyewitnesses, and we figured the bureaucrats back in Washington would never buy Iraqi statements. If I had any chance at all, it had to come under the signature of a general officer. I traveled to Ramadi the next day and spoke individually to a half dozen Iraqi police, all of whom told the same story. The blue truck turned down the alley and immediately sped up as it made its way through the serpentine. They all said, "We knew immediately what was going on as soon as the two Marines began firing." The Iraqi police then related that some of them also fired, and then to a man ran for safety just prior to the explosion. All survived. Many were injured, some seriously. One of the Iraqis elaborated, with tears welling up, said, "They'd run like any normal man would have would to save his life. What he didn't know until then," he said, "and what, in a quote, "and what he learned that very instant was that Marines are not normal." Choking past the emotion, he said, "Sir, in the name of God, no sane man would have stood there and done what they did. No sane man. They saved us all." What he didn't know at the time, and only learned a couple of days later after I wrote a summary and submitted both Yale and Harder for posthumous Navy crosses, was that one of our security cameras, damaged initially in the blast, recorded some of the suicide attack. It happened exactly as the Iraqis had described it. It took exactly 6 seconds from the truck, for when the truck entered the alley, until it detonated. You can watch the last 6 seconds of their young lives. Putting myself in their heads, I suppose it took about a second for two Marines to separately come to the same conclusion about what was going on once the truck came into their view at the far end of the valley. Exactly no time to talk it over or call the sergeant to ask what they should do. Only enough time to take half an instant and think about what the sergeant told them to do only a few minutes before. Let no authorized personnel or vehicles pass. The two Marines had about 5 seconds left to live. It took maybe another 2 seconds for them to present their weapons, take aim, and open fire. By this time, the truck was halfway through the barriers and gaining speed the whole time. Here the recording shows a number of Iraqi police, some of whom had fired their AKs, now scattering like the normal and national irrational men they were, some running right past the Marines. They had 3 seconds to live. For about 2 seconds more, the recording shows the Marines firing nonstop. The truck's windshield exploded into the shards of glass as their rounds took it apart and tore into the body of the driver who was trying to get past them to kill their brothers. American and Iraqi bedded down in the barrack, totally unaware of the fact that their lives at that moment depended entirely on two Marines standing their guard. If they had been aware, they would have known that they were safe because two Marines stood between them and crazed suicide bomber. The recording shows the truck careening to a stop immediately in front of the two Marines. In all the instantaneous violence, Yale and Harder never hesitated. By all reports and by the recording, they never stepped back. They never even started to step aside. They never even shifted their weight. With their feet spread shoulder-width apart, they leaned to the danger, firing as fast as they could work their weapons. They had only 1 second. The truck explodes. The camera goes blank. Two young men go to their God. 6 seconds. Not enough time to think about their families, their country, their flag, or about their lives or their deaths. But more than enough time for every brave young men to do their duty into eternity. This is the kind of people are on watch all over the world tonight for you. I read that story because that's what we're to be to each other. To be those kind of folks who encourage, step alongside to help. When we make our commitments, we don't step back. When the enemy comes, we fire until we meet God. That's what God asks of us. If the United States of America can ask our young men to do that for us, Why cannot we have a God that asks us to give of ourselves willingly and completely to His service? To step alongside our brothers and sisters who are in the battle, who are doing the things, to encourage them. But far too often, we get content in what we have. For all too often, we are willing to stay on the other side, Jordan. Far too often, we're like these 2.5 tribes. But Moses gave them a lecture. And Moses spoke harshly to them. And Moses said, if you won't do this, he said, be sure, your sin will find you out. God wants you and I to get in the ranks. God wants you and I to be in the battle, to encourage the brethren. There are all kinds of things that need to be done in the churches of God. There are all kinds of people that need to be reached. And far too often, there are so many who are sitting idly by. God wants you in it. I've been asked a lot in recent days, when are you going to retire? I often think, I've been tired all my life. How can I get retired? Unless God knocks the legs out from under me, God doesn't give me the years to sit idly by. Have I slowed down? Definitely. All of us do. But you and I have a job to do. And as to what? Encourage those about us. How do we do it? Clap? Applaud? Say, good going? No, the greatest way. By the way, those are good. But the greatest way is to get involved with them. Amen? Somebody's painting, grab another brush. Somebody's scrubbing the toilet. Oh, did you know there's more than one in this place? Somebody's teaching a class. There's always room for somebody else to say, hey, I'll be the gopher. I'll go for this. I'll go for that. There's always places. I didn't even mention bus ministry. Didn't mention other things. There's always, always places for us to be involved. Discourage the brethren? How? Not like those 2 Marines. They stood. They gave their lives. That's what God wants us. He says, I beg you that we would what? Present our bodies a living sacrifice. That's what God wants. Are you willing? Are you willing to commit it? And are you willing to commit it over the long haul? Be sure your sin will find you out. You know, I've learned in the last 40 years, there's a lot of quitters. But thank God for stayers. To stick with a job. And come alongside and get involved. And go with it. Lord God, today work in our hearts. Lord, I thank you for these who are assembled with me today. their very presence is an encouragement. To be involved in a service together, to sing together, to be able to fellowship together. But, oh God, to be able to reach out to a community, to be able to reach boys and girls and men and women. Oh God, how we thank you for the privilege. Lord, we also know in this room this morning, I know as sure as I'm standing here, there are no doubt people in this room who need the gospel that we bear. They need the Jesus that is so precious to us. And Lord, one of the things that speaks to their hearts so loudly is when we as your people are united in our love and our labors together. Oh God, work in every heart. Do that which is needed. I pray for those who are lost, they might this day realize their need and get saved. Lord, I pray for those who ought to be stepping up and saying to somebody, I'll help. I want to encourage. Maybe you can't do much, but they'll be there. God, I pray you'll just work in hearts. Lord, there's a great work that needs to be accomplished. I pray that you would just use each and every one of us that we might truly be laborers together for the cause of Christ. Lord God, speak to hearts in these moments. Lord, I pray that you would cause folk to make commitment today. Stick to those things. Keep on going for Christ. Bless in these moments, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.